In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, and in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts, your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And our psalm today is Psalm 25, beginning at the first verse. And we begin by saying the refrain together. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame, but let the treacherous be shamed and frustrated. Make me to know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you have I hoped all the day long. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but think on me in your goodness, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore shall he teach sinners in the way. He will guide the humble in doing right and teach his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, be merciful to my sin, for it is great. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love. Free us, God of mercy, from all that keeps us from you. Relieve the misery of the anxious and the ashamed, and fill us with the hope of peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our first reading is from Colossians 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father, thanksgiving and prayer. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our canticle this morning is a song of David, and we say the refrain together. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. Blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name, for all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all.
And our second reading comes from Luke 10, 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. While getting ready to go on holiday, I had a quick look at today's gospel reading, knowing that I was going to have to write a sermon before I left, or a very speedy one when I got back. I'll let you make up your minds which I opted for. However, when I read the gospel reading, I thought, phew, the parable of the Good Samaritan. I love that one. That'll be okay. And that's the trouble for some of us. We are so familiar with some of the teachings of Jesus that they fail to shock us or challenge us anymore. And if that's what we think, we're in for trouble, because the whole point of so much of Jesus' teaching, especially the parables, is that they should challenge us and galvanize us into action. In response to a question by a lawyer, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells a story about a man who needs help. Of those people mentioned in the story, only a Samaritan managed to help the man. Jews and Samaritans disliked one another intensely. By his actions, the man showed that he was not only a good Samaritan, but a good neighbor. Jesus says to the lawyer to do exactly as the Samaritan had done, and then he too would be a good neighbor. In other words, Jesus says in his story that the Samaritan, showing mercy, exemplified neighborliness, and therefore not only the lawyer, but you and I should do the same. Simple, eh? Done and dusted. I wonder if that's what Jesus meant as he told this story, or did he have something more radical in mind? As Luke records, a lawyer came up to Jesus and asked him a $1 million question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Luke tells us that the lawyer is trying to catch Jesus out. He's testing him. But whatever his motives, it is a good question, a very good question indeed. It's direct and it's to the point. However, Jesus doesn't answer the lawyer directly. He's far too canny for that. Instead, he replies with another question. What is written in the law? Asked Jesus. How do you read it? Well, the lawyer is no fool either, and he gives a straightforward textbook answer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. There is no doubt that this is a tip-top answer, and Jesus congratulates the lawyer. And then he adds the challenge. Do this and you shall live. I wonder what the lawyer thought about this challenge. After all, he had answered correctly. Really, there was nothing more to be said. But Jesus was asking him to think again. Jesus wanted more than just the right answer. He wanted to see the practical, not just hear the theory. So the lawyer asks for further clarification. Who is my neighbor? In other words, who should I help and who shouldn't I? Where's the line? I presume the lawyer would have loved to discuss this who is my neighbor stuff ad nauseam, but Jesus doesn't enter a discussion. Instead, he tells a story. And we know it. We know the story so well. A man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's beaten up by a gang of robbers who leave him for dead. Two people are also traveling down the road, and they both ignore the man. A third traveler, a Samaritan, is the only one to help the man. He looks after him and pays for him to be taken care of, promising more money if required. Which of the three was a neighbor to the man who was robbed? Asked Jesus. The one who shows him mercy, the lawyer replies. Go and do likewise, Jesus says again. Do this and you will live. Do this, says Jesus. Don't just think about it. Don't just discuss the theory. Do it. Live out your faith. Make your theology practical. Do it. It's the challenge. I have been wondering who I identify with in this story. Who am I? To be honest, some days I am the priest or the Levite. Some days I hope to be like the Good Samaritan. Sometimes I know there is a need, but I'm just too busy, too tired, too overwhelmed to do anything. I want to be like the Samaritan. I strive to be like the Samaritan. And once in a while, I am like the Samaritan. But maybe one of the points of this story is that the Samaritan is not one of us. He's different. He's other. And maybe that's the point. At the time Jesus told this story, the Samaritans and the Jews were bitter enemies. They had been for centuries. They disagreed about everything. They worshipped in different temples. They read different versions of the Torah. They hated one another. We may hear the story and love the Samaritan, but the fact that Jesus made the Samaritan the central character in this story, the hero, would have been utterly shocking to his listeners. The Samaritan was the enemy. He was hated. He was other. They despised Samaritans and were disgusted by them. So who in our present day context would be the equivalent in this story? Who is the very last person you'd ask to save you? Who is the last person you would think of as being a hero, as being good? When Jesus made the Samaritan the hero of this story, he was being radical. He was being controversial and he was taking a risk. It would have shocked his followers. In asking them to enter into this story, Jesus was inviting them to open up their hearts and their minds to new possibilities. He was asking them to put aside their prejudices. He was inviting them to step aside from centuries of bias, entrenched opinions, and deeply held beliefs. Jesus was asking his listeners to imagine a new way of living, a new way of seeing. It's the kingdom of God. He was asking them to see one another in a godly kingdom way, a way that allows heavenly possibilities and manifold surprises. When we allow the spirit of the kingdom of God, to enter and fill us, we begin to see things differently. We are challenged to let go of things, deeply held, deeply entrenched things, and to see the brilliance and generosity of God's kingdom. It's interesting that the only character in this story who is not defined by his profession or class or race or religion is the wounded man. He is naked and broken. He doesn't even have a name. He just needs help. He's just grateful to be helped. He is thankful to anyone who will show him mercy. You see, all the tribalism, the prejudice, the opinions, the arguments and debate mean nothing to that man as he lay wounded and dying on the dusty road. All the divisions of us and them mean nothing in that situation. The only thing that matters is compassion and mercy. "Who is my neighbor?" asks the lawyer. Your neighbor is the one who shocks you with compassion, who shows you love and mercy, who reveals to you the fresh face of God. Your neighbor is the one who steps over every divide that separates us from them. Your neighbor is the one who shows us the real meaning of the word good. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" asked the lawyer. "Do this," says Jesus. "Do this, and you will live." Amen.
O Lord, our God, we turn our minds, our thoughts, our prayers to those in need, our neighbours near and far. We know the right thing to do is to pray for those in need. Help us now as we pray to be willing to offer a hand of help and friendship whenever we can to those for whom we pray. O Lord, our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
For the traumatised through random shootings, unprovoked attacks, senseless, seemingly purposeless acts of maiming and murder, leaving scars, physical and emotional, that will last a lifetime. For the emergency services that react to such events and pick up the pieces of carnage, mentally and physically. O Lord our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
For our faraway neighbours in Australia, seeing drastic effects of climate change with epic flooding in Sydney. For India and Pakistan, for Afghanistan, all countries seeing chaotic weather patterns. Homes, businesses, infrastructures and livelihoods washed away along with hopes and dreams of security. O Lord our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
For our neighbours in Ethiopia, Sudan, Nicaragua and Sri Lanka, all facing economic and political crisis, living lives and existences we cannot even begin to imagine. O Lord, our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
For countries and peoples still fighting the effects of COVID, for slow rollout of vaccines in some places, to wasted vaccines in others, from lack of understanding, from fake news, from fear and ignorance, and some people simply ignoring good advice for the good of others. O Lord, our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
For young people coming to the end of summer term and all the changes and chances and challenges that will involve. New schools, new classes, new friends, new teachers, and for some, the stress of waiting for exam results that will determine their next steps. For all those leaving education and stepping out into the world with its uncertainty and their own uncertainty. O Lord, our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
For parents, as they let their youngsters go to experience life for themselves, for the challenges and changes this brings to the dynamics of family life. O Lord our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
For the increasing number of people worldwide facing uncertainties over finances and housing, with conflicts between eating and heating. May those with too much and more than they can ever be, more than they can ever need, be willing to make sacrifices for those with far too little to meet even basic needs. O Lord our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
For those for whom life today is a real struggle, for those who do not know for whatever reason what is the right thing to do, for those who are unwell, especially Jack, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Herbert, and Helen. And for the family and friends of those who have recently been bereaved, for the family of Angela Burrows, Leonard Reed, Stephen Troke. O Lord our God, we pray for them.
Our neighbours near and far.
O Lord our God, accept our prayers, our yearnings and our hopes for others.
Amen.
And the collect for today. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers and because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you. Grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments, we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And we say together, as our Saviour taught us, our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dawn, very much for helping me this morning. Thank you, all of you, for worshipping with us this morning. I hope you have a great day and a lovely week. Just an apology that the coffee morning didn't happen on Zoom on Wednesday. But if you want to meet at Bickley Mill at 10 o'clock, then please come on Wednesday. And there's a group of people gathering there. If you need a lift, I'm going to say, let me know. But the trouble is, a tractor has driven into the telegraph pole at the bottom of our lane, and we have no internet or telephone line at the moment. And I don't know how long that's going to last for. But what I can suggest is that you phone Dawn if you need to get to me, and she will get a message to me. Dawn's number is on the website, and it's at the beginning of the magazine. Under Oakford, Dawn Williams. I think that's the best way of going about things while we're in a state of uncertainty. We've got cable wrapped around our roof at the moment. So it's all looking a bit chaotic. And a reminder that if you'd like to come for afternoon tea at the rectory, and hopefully it would be like this, then Monday the 25th of July between 2 and 4:30, you're very welcome to turn up. Bring a friend if you would like to. And come and join me at my house for afternoon tea at the rectory. Sounds like sort of murder story I was talking about at the beginning. Anyway, have a great day. Enjoy the tennis, and God bless you all, and see you soon. Bye-bye.